Hello, Internet.
Hello. I've had 4 hours of sleep in the past 24 hours and 2 glasses of wine.
All right.
Nice. What kind of wine?
Just, I don't know, white wine.
Ripple?
No, it's Pinot Grigio, but, you know.
Fortified Pinot Grigio?
Is that a thing? Because...
You know, there's something to go for is because you got like for the, you know, at first like screw top was synonymous with garbage wine. And then companies realized that, oh, it's, you know, the, you know, 21st century, you don't need a cork anymore. And corks kind of suck. So they started putting good wine in screw top bottles. And then, actually, at my friend's wedding, I had fucking screw top champagne. That was creepy.
You know, I just, I have a Facebook friend who, I'm not going to mention her name, but I have a Facebook friend who is from Australia, and she is currently visiting the United States, and she has been listing things that she has been surprised about in the United States. And one of the things she listed was that we still have corks in our wine.
Well, the Australians were Australia never. Now I'm getting my facts wrong slightly. I can't remember if they had difficulty getting corks, they couldn't grow cork. I don't know what the story was, but it was the Australian wines that were some of the first ones that you would see with the synthetic cork, whatever the hell that thing is made of, and it was some sort of thing. And I've got to assume that, you know, oh, synthetic corks, yeah. I don't know if they're better or worse than a conventional cork, but
yeah, I've read articles where they say it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
Corks are just kind of a traditional wine thing, but
certainly the traditional cork is actually totally bullshit because a buddy of mine's a big wine drinker, and he surprised me with the, if you go to a restaurant, you order a nice bottle of wine, you know, the sommelier will come over or the waiter will come over to your table and uncork it. And then he'll hand you the cork to smell. And
it smells like cork.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Can you guess, Alan?
The real reason or the theoretical reason?
I didn't know that there was a theoretical reason.
Well, the theory is you're supposed to be able to look. You're supposed to look at the cork and see if the cork is in good shape and not, you know, dried and crappy.
That is that you're supposed to sniff the cork to smell if it's moldy. I always assumed it was you're sniffing the cork to get a hint of the nose of the wine and get an idea.
You're supposed to check it because you're inspecting the cork to make sure that the cork didn't fail and
there's no cork floating around in your wine.
That's literally your opportunity to go pitch this thing.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not paying for this piece of shit.
Right. What's this black stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Is to see if your cork is moldy or if it smells like mildew or all that.
A lot of times they store it wrong and the cork dries out and gets all dry and gross and actually lets air into the wine bottle. So you're also checking for that. So listen to me acting like I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I think it's just the waiter wants to give you something to do.
Well, it's also like this dramatic little ritual.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I was always, you know, always was like so surprised when my friend told me what the real reason was for it, because it was one of those like, yeah, it was always kind of done. Yeah. As a ritual. So it's one of those, it wasn't like he would hand me the cork. And I'd look at the cork and I'd sniff it and it'd smell like wine. And I'd be like, ooh, yeah. And I'd nod and he'd take the cork away. And I'd drink the wine and pretend like I could tell the difference between a $50 bottle of wine and a $5 bottle of wine. I'm not a wine drinker.
The only thing of that nature that I've ever been able to tell the difference is cheap champagne and expensive champagne.
I don't like champagne.
Wine tastes the same to me no matter what it is, but you get a like a really good bottle of champagne, and it's a lot different from the $5 bottle.
Maybe I haven't had a really good champagne.
You gotta get the what's the stupid one? All the they get in the topless bars.
Cristal?
No, Dom Perignon. Don't get that. That's gross. I would start off with the. What's the one?
How big of a glass of wine can you drink, Alan, before you fall asleep?
About half.
Right. So Alan's a connoisseur. Everyone.
Well, I am a connoisseur, for lack of, for lack of, you know, I can't drink much. So, you know, whatever, forget it. I don't know. But the I forget what they call it, but that you see it all the time. It's the champagne with like the flower bottles, Pierre Perrier something. I can't remember, but it's got like the flowers on it. And it's like
I know the one you're
$120.
I know the label you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a good one. So
champagne with flowers on it.
Yeah, if you want the good champagne, get that one.
Like I don't know. Marine.
We had for one of my wife's accomplishments at work, somebody gave her a bottle of champagne and it just sat in our kitchen for like 2 months. And finally we were going over to a friend's house for a dinner party. And I'm like, let's bring this bottle of champagne because we're not going to drink it. I've got no interest in it. You've obviously got no interest in it. So let's bring it over there. And then my wife can have because my wife's like Alan, she doesn't mind a drink, but yeah, she can drink about half of one and she's all set. And, so she got her half a glass of champagne. My friend was like, oh God, this is a really good bottle of champagne. And, yeah, I mean, it tasted good. It was good tasting champagne.
Is it Perrier Jouet, Alan?
I think so. That sounds Perrier Jouet. Right. Okay. It's famous. It's the flower bottle. Flowers. You go into a place and you go, I want the flower bottle champagne. That's what they'll give you. Everybody knows what that is. Nobody knows how to pronounce it in the U.S.
Perrier Jouet.
Okay.
Oh, I see the flowers. This is not what it was.
That's like a $150 bottle of.
Yeah. It's expensive, but it's really good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just saying. I've never liked Dom Perignon. I've always thought it was gross. I never liked it. But the flower bottle was actually drinkable. And that's coming from somebody who's not a wine drinker. I've never really liked wine. I've never really liked champagne. So anyway. The other thing I've never been able to tell since we're talking about booze.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I've never been able to discern, and maybe it's because I don't drink it enough to learn, is like, you know, people will talk about, you know, like they'll drink like a glass of whiskey and they'll say, oh yes, it's blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, it tastes like alcohol. I've never been able to tell one kind of whiskey from another kind of whiskey, because to me it tastes exactly the same. It tastes like alcohol.
Well, and that's all a question of your palate. And some people will, that's where you get the whole scotch and water thing from, is some people will put a splash of water into their whiskey just to thin it out a little bit so that they can get a little bit more of the of that. For me it makes the whiskey taste like water. But yeah, I mean, it all depends. I mean, I'm also the guy that will, you know, eat the dark chocolate that'll choke a horse. Mm. That's like, you know, 98%, you know, dark chocolate. And I'll, you know, I can definitely go with the, I've had some stuff that's just awful. And some stuff is like one of those, like, oh my God, this is the best chocolate I've ever had. It's not sweet at all. And it's going to hit you over the head with its bitterness, but oh my God, is it good? But again, it all depends on your palate.
Yeah, I'm super sensitive to bitter.
I spend a lot of time drinking whiskeys, and so yeah.
But yeah, you can tell the difference?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. The other day I was over at my parents' house and my dad just handed me a glass of whiskey and I took a sip and went, boo. And went over and got a glass of water and rinsed my mouth out. I thought maybe there was something interacting with it. And then took another sip and went, oh, it's not getting any better. And I went, oh, Dad, is this Knob Creek? Yeah, it's Knob Creek. Oh, that's why. Because Knob Creek tastes like shit. I have no idea why people drink that stuff. It is so disgusting.
I have heard people say, and I have no reference for this either. I have heard people say that the first drink should be with the good booze, and then after that, you can just drink cheap crap because you're not going to taste the difference anyway.
Not exactly, but it is true. The especially if you're drinking like, you know, a neat bourbon or a neat scotch or something like that. The first one you have is definitely going to move your palate around a bit. So you might, it is definitely better to start with the expensive stuff on the clean palate and then work your way down. It also depends on your tolerances and, again, how refined your palate is and how big a glass you're pouring yourself.
And after the 10th one, you can just go to straight ethanol.
Yes.
I like margaritas. I like fruity drinks.
How do you take your margaritas? Do you drink them in like the great big glasses where it's mostly canned sour mix, or do you actually drink real margaritas?
No, I like real ones. I like real ones made right. And I'm not a huge fan of frozen margaritas unless it's really hot in the summer, and then it's just like drinking a Slurpee.
Yeah.
But
only one.
Right. Cause two, I'm falling asleep.
So do you go with the lime and triple sec, or what's your favorite type of margarita?
There's he kind likes of the ones where he tells the bartender, yes,
make me a margarita. Those are my favorites. I have never actually, the only margaritas I've ever made for myself were done with like margarita mix.
It's actually super duper easy.
I'm sure it is, but I'm also super duper lazy.
I mean, yeah, but it's kind of, well, okay. There's a million and one easy steps in there, but there are multiple easy steps.
That ain't going to happen.
Such as, you know, juicing limes. That's a step.
Yeah, you'd stop right there.
Buying a bottle of tequila and buying a bottle of triple sec is another step. Taking one measure of sugar and one measure of water and heating them up to a boil and then letting them cool.
Yeah, you lost me a long time ago. Ain't gonna happen. I'll go to the Tex-Mex place down the block and say, give me a margarita.
Yeah, I like making my own stuff.
You know, weird. They have this place in Texas. It's called Taco Cabana, and Taco Cabana is like, it's pretty good, like Mexican food. They've got tacos and burritos.
I've got to imagine in Texas, bad Mexican food's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
like, so long as it's not like Taco Bell or Margaritaville or anything like that.
I don't think I saw a single Taco Bell in Texas. Lots of Taco Cabanas, though, and people like Taco Cabanas because it's like decent. It's like fast food, but not fast food. You know, it's more like the Wendy's of Mexican food, where it's like it's fast food, but they still kind of make it for you. You know what I mean?
Yep. And the Five Guys of fast food.
Yeah. Yes. It's like Five Guys. Yeah. 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 And so they have this good Mexican food and everything. And they also serve breakfast, which I haven't had. And they also have a salsa bar, which is magical, but they also
don't just leave me hanging on the salsa bar. Tell me more.
They have like 8 different types of salsa.
At least.
Like all handmade salsas, like different, like they have tomatillo salsa and they have the fire roasted salsa and it's all like handmade there. So it's all really, really good. And then they have like, of course, the little lime wedges and the extra onions and jalapenos and, you know, whatnot, but it's really good. But one of the things that they have at Taco Cabana is like one of those like icy machines, like the slushy machine thing with frozen margarita. So imagine going to like Five Guys and getting your burger and a frozen margarita. But my question has always been, what time of the day do they turn on the frozen margarita machine? Because can I get it with breakfast? Ooh. If they're open for breakfast, do they have margaritas ready for breakfast?
I do not know. I will investigate.
No one can answer this question for me. I need to know.
I'll find out.
That's okay. Always just a strange topic that just bugs the crap out of me is the whole like morning drinking thing. Is the, oh, you know, yeah. If you're drinking a Bloody Mary or a screwdriver or a mimosa, that is perfectly acceptable. But if you're drinking a beer or a martini, you're an alcoholic.
Yeah, that's true. But if you're on vacation, like I usually am when I go to Texas, if you're on vacation, all bets are off.
Oh, that's absolutely true. 100%.
Right.
Yeah, especially yeah, if you're on vacation and in a different state than where you live. Yeah, no, you can shoot heroin and nobody cares. You could literally be spiking a vein like first thing in the morning, and it's one of those like I'm on vacation.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Weird.
Does Brita shoot a lot of heroin in Texas?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I've heard the Mexican heroin's good there.
It is. I wouldn't know. But I will investigate the margarita thing. I am sure since it's Texas, there's some kind of law about when you can start serving drinks like that.
I don't know. Texas seems a little bit, their alcohol laws seem a little bit, I don't want to say lax.
Because they're not.
They're not lax. It just seems like a little, the whole alcohol situation seems a little bit more relaxed in Texas.
Which is surprising if you knew the history of alcohol sales in Texas. It would be.
Well, I know, but like I have never, like if you go into a restaurant in Texas, like especially like barbecue places, you're waiting in line and they have these like giant troughs of ice. And in the ice is every kind of beer you could want.
Oh, like the wash tubs?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I love the wash tubs. And
you can just like take what you want, and that, it's
yeah. That magical. Actually depends on what city and county you're in Texas, because they have,
well, I would assume.
Yeah, they have a thing. They have a thing in Texas called dry counties,
mm-hmm.
where the county has forbid the entire county doesn't allow alcohol sales. They also have dry cities where the entire city doesn't allow alcohol sales.
So the neighboring county or city does really good business.
Right.
Yeah.
There used to be, for instance, Lubbock used to be a dry city. And you had to go outside the city limits to buy booze. So there was, you know, these strips. They called it the strip. I'm going to strip, buy beer. And you'd go, and every major road and highway leaving Lubbock was lined with alcohol liquor stores on both sides of the road.
Yeah,
I believe Lubbock has since this was you know back in the '80s and before, but
were all these dry counties were all these dry counties? That's all like from Prohibition. That's all. Like,
well,
from the
Holstein, it's right? Kind of a it's always a bootlegger and Baptist thing, right? So the Baptists don't want legal liquor sales in the county for religious reasons, and the bootleggers don't want it because they make a shitload of money off of selling people booze.
Sure.
It's not uncommon to have like garage beer stores, somebody in dry cities and dry counties where somebody goes to a distributor and loads up their truck with, you know, cases and cases of beer and stacks it up in their garage, and all the neighbors just come over and buy a six pack or whatever they need. Mm-hmm. That's pretty common. So I used to laugh because we'd go to the strip in Lubbock, and in the highway, coming on the highway, coming back. So you couldn't buy beer or liquor in the city limits, but on the highway, on the road, coming back into the city, well inside the city limits, is a singular thing, an establishment that I've never seen anywhere else in the world. It's a drive-in porno theater. And I'm talking hardcore porn up on the screen, and you driving by the highway and you see naked people fucking. I mean, it's
well, that actually happened a lot everywhere, because I mean, the drive-in theaters just started dying off. And I mean, that's kind of the story of, like, that's kind of like the progression of man sort of story is as an industry starts dying, so you've got like the in Maine, yeah, the places you'd go to watch porn, back before there was, before there was internet and VHS, you would go to the drive-ins were going extinct, and the single screen theaters were going out of business, and somebody would buy them and turn them into porn theaters, and that would keep them alive for a little bit longer. Because when the multiplexes destroyed the drive-throughs and the single screen theaters, they turned into porno.
And now everybody has their cell phones.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In the library.
No, not even. I hardly ever have to deal with porn.
Yeah, now you can watch hardcore porn on the bus.
Yeah, like walking down the street.
You don't need to drive on the highway. You could just be sitting there on the bus and seeing the shady person beside you watching horrible, horrible hardcore porn.
Well, and they do it so you'll
start a conversation.
Well, no, there is a class of person that gets off on other people knowing they're watching porn.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like the guys that take pictures of reflective items on Craigslist, and you can.
Oh, those guys! Yeah, buy my teapot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Weirdos. Speaking of weirdos.
Yeah, I think it's about time.
You know what? We're halfway through the show, so.
I was wondering, since we were going so far, like, it would be great.
I was hoping.
Push it all the way down and then say, hey, Jay, I guess you could have come on.
I'm hoping. Yeah. I was actually hoping we could just kind of skate around it. Because, I mean, honestly, there's nothing to say at this point.
That is true.
And the only thing to say is how horrible it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's unimaginable. And I can't, those families who lost people, my heart breaks for them. And the people, there's still people, here's the thing. Okay. I'm not going to talk about the thing. I'm going to talk about the reaction to the thing.
Okay.
I like that.
I think that's a more interesting, because we all know what happened. I think the reaction to the thing is more interesting. Especially like the reaction online and how fast it was and how nobody waited for details. Everybody had their own opinion. Everybody had their own theories. And honestly, and I said this on Facebook, and I'm going to say it again. And this really, and a lot of people, especially on our side, the pro Second Amendment, pro gun rights side, we always take to task the anti-gunners. Oh, they're dancing in the blood of the victims, and they're already, fighting to take away our rights and blah blah blah. But on the other flip side of the coin, I saw a lot of shit this week that really made, okay, no, I'm just gonna say it. It made me sick from people who were on our supposed side. It made me sick because literally it was not even 24 hours after the shooting in Las Vegas where I saw people who were my supposed friends on Facebook talking about the shooting as if they were doing the play-by-play of the Super Bowl. It was ghoulish and disgusting. as bad as the anti-gunners who, you know, are dancing in the blood of the victims, trying to, you know, get rid of our rights. Not even 24 hours before people who are supposed, like, come, you know, my friends who I respected, it was like they were, like, analyzing the sound of the gunshots and how, you know, the plunging fire and all this stuff. Meanwhile, like, people in Las Vegas, in the hospitals, are still fighting to live. I mean, it wasn't even 24 hours. So I want to say right now, while I have this opportunity to, like, you know, publicly go on record that I know that the Second Amendment people, that, yes, you know, we're fighting for our Second Amendment rights. I understand that. But you are just as bad in the wake of a massacre. You're just as bad, but like a mirror image of your supposed foes. I was disgusted. It wasn't like a sporting event that you could, like, give the play-by-play and the, you know, oh, what kind of gun did he use? And, oh, I want to see all the, what was it, junk on the bunk pictures. And I was sickened by the people I called my friends. And I just want to put that out there. The whole thing was heartbreaking this week. And it was just an awful week for everyone. And I think literally for everyone, the entire country had a really bad week. Because we all had these conflicting reactions to a really massively horrible event. But in the end, it's not about you and your little shitty reaction on the internet. It's not. And I know I sound like a scold, but it's not about you. I'm done.
Well, you're
okay.
Right.
Okay.
And, yeah,
you don't just try, like, for the first fucking 24 hours after something like this happens to fucking control yourself. You're putting it on the internet. Number one, it's forever. Number two, you know nothing. Number three, people are dead and it's not about you. Okay. Now I'm done. Go on.
Well, you're right. There's you know, we make fun of the liberals, you know, jumping in.
Yeah.
We make fun of Dianne Feinstein and, you know, everybody, and Hillary Clinton and everybody that jumps in with when we laugh at them because, oh, you're so stupid, you don't know anything about guns, and then we have,
and they don't. It's true,
right?
It's true.
But then we, at the same time, we have people that are like speculating on things. We have there, I can't tell you how many different things I've read where people are trying to, you know, because, okay, so first off, when an event like this happens, nobody knows what the fuck happened. Nobody knows. The press doesn't know. The cops don't know. The people that were there don't know. Nobody knows. It's too chaotic. There's too much going on. Nobody knows. And until the cops do their investigation, until they put all the pieces together and they go,
which, by the way, is going on like right now.
Right.
There are,
right.
Like that's something that a lot of, like, I was just thinking about, like, when hearing some of these people talking and be one of those, like, Jesus Christ. I mean, like, you know, I mean, there were people talking when there were still fucking bodies on the ground. Like they, yes, hadn't even moved. It was all right. That, right, person's dead. We're not going to help them. Let's leave them there for just a little bit so that we can do some reconstruct, you know, crime scene reconstruction, you know, and then, you know, it, you know, in a timely manner, we'll bag them up and move them on. But the, you know, the people are realizing, like, right now, like, as I'm saying this, and then we're not doing a live show anymore. So, hey, guess what? You could be listening to this when the fuck ever. It could be in the middle of the workday on Friday. It could be, I could be talking to you on Monday morning. Whenever you're hearing the sound of my voice, unless you're going deep into the archives and this is, you know, 2020 and you're going, oh, I just discovered the squirrel report thing. You know, if it's,
by the way, if you did, welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show. glad you went all the way back here from the future.
Sorry about the scolding.
Yeah.
I'm usually in a better mood.
Don't be sorry about the scolding. They fucking deserve it.
They did deserve it. Absolutely. Yeah,
exactly. But if you're listening to this in, really in 2017.
Yeah. Exactly. There the next are few cops months.
around the clock in this hotel room, down in the square, talking to people and all that, trying to figure out what the fuck went on.
Right.
Like, they have no idea. They might have some more information than we have, but like, just knowing, what's the make and model of which gun, or the dude had a gazillion guns in his room, which is just one of those, like, what the fuck, dude? Like, people are like, why did he have so many? I mean, I got a gazillion guns. Jay's got a gazillion guns. Like, we are both not collectors. We're fucking accumulators. Let's not glorify the collection that we have as saying, I'm a collector. No. We just find stuff that's cool and we accumulate it. And you can have a ton of guns, and that's great. But how many brought with him into that hotel room? Like, what the fuck was he planning on doing? He's just got two arms. So the idea of, there's got to be at least a fucking dozen guns in that room that were unfired. And figuring out what those, he had a Bond Arms Derringer in there that he didn't even have ammo for. Who cares? Who cares? Yes, the cops know that because they've bagged it and tagged it, but they haven't released it to the press because they still haven't figured out that that's a fucking mystery in itself.
Well, and the press, there's such wild, rampant speculation, and people are saying things that literally have no clue about what they're saying. They've got, supposed spokespeople or supposed cops speaking off the record that are just spouting bullshit, and the press is reporting this, and I have seen several people already trying to come up with conspiracy theories over this thing because of the conflicting news reports. Mm-hmm. So you're taking the reporting of people that don't know a fucking thing, that get even stuff well covered, they get it wrong. I mean,
who get rewarded for also getting something wrong.
Right. And then you're spinning some kind of bullshit conspiracy theory. It's going to be like the 9/11 truthers all over again. I guarantee you there are already people out there that are going on and on about this I'm a Mandalay truther. I mean, I guarantee you there's some asshole out there doing it right now. And it's all based on this bullshit reporting and conflicting stories and everything else, because there's not a person in a police department, there's not a reporter, there is no person anywhere on the planet right now that knows what happened. No one knows. And anybody that claims they do is a liar. It's impossible.
Yeah. The people who are watching the videos and listening to the gunshots and like, that was rapid belt fire, blah, blah, blah.
Let's be honest. Like, no matter what happens, this isn't going to make any fucking sense.
No, of course not. Because the guy was crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So even better is even the dude that shot himself when he saw the cops, coming towards his room. He doesn't even know what happened.
No, because he was crazy.
Yeah, because he was crazy. Who knows how crazy he was, but hey, guess what? Really fucking crazy. I mean, for the Gun Blog Variety Cast, I ended up, just for the sake of researching, read cover to cover the Aurora shooter's little fucking manifesto. What wasn't redacted out of it, which that in itself is a little bit weird because the redactions on that are like whole pages. I've never seen that before in a Freedom of Information Act document. I've seen, little bits of information clipped out where you know, on, you know, either side, oh, that's a person's name and that I know who that person is by the context of the sentence around it, but they're not going to tell me that person's name. That's fine. That's not relevant to this case, but I know that that's a person's name. Versus in this thing, it is, he starts talking about what, you know, which, what, you know, what place he's going to pick. And then there's two whole pages where every single line is redacted out. And then it goes back to 100% unredacted, crazy, just crazy. I mean, there's like at least like six pages in that that are just like one word repeated over and over and over again.
Lovely.
And I, you know, which, by the way, is really fucking crazy, because we actually, I had a coworker that, you know, whose cheese slipped off his cracker. And that was one of the things he would do, was just sit in a notebook and write like one word or one phrase over and over and over again for like five pages in a notebook.
Oh, like Red Rum. And Red Rum. Red Rum. Pretty much. All work and no play makes you.
And I remember sitting next to one of the people that he had threatened. And I was going to tease the guy. By writing some, I picked a phrase and I was going to write it over and over in my notebook. And I wrote like four times in my notebook, and it went like, literally it took up like two lines on my notebook, and my hand was tired, and I'm like, this is bullshit. What the fuck am I doing? That's like, that's how crazy you need to be. Like there's like, you can't even like, it would have been a funny joke if I could have written like a page of Red Rum on a notebook. And even then it was one of those, like, this isn't worth the payoff.
Cause you're not crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part about stuff like this is, you know, the human instinct is to search for meaning. You know, why did this happen?
Of course.
And there's, you know, there's people that were injured. There's people that are dead. Their friends and family are all sitting around dealing with that. And they're like, why, you know, the question is, why did this happen? And it is so unsatisfying.
Oh yeah.
To just know that crazy. That is so unsatisfying.
Yeah. I mean, even with the, again, talking about this guy after he had been fired, the person I was referencing earlier who'd been like threatened by this guy, and was, this guy had his paranoia personified himself in this other employee, which led to him getting his ass, you know, thrown out of the building. But the guy said, man, you know, I kind of wanted, you know, I kind of wished that. There were some instances where like he came to like, you know, a group meeting and was like making just blatant accusations about this guy that was completely out of this world. And he was like, you know, come on, let's all go into the lab and I will show you. And we knew there was nothing to show in the lab. Like it was just, he was just crazy, but he's like, oh man, I almost wish that instead of our boss going, no, you're fucking nuts. Cut the shit out right now. Instead he going with him, and just so he could see that, you know, the emperor had no clothes. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. With people that are this crazy, like you can directly prove that their delusions are wrong, and it only makes it worse.
Right.
Like if you start showing people that there's not cameras in the walls, and showing people that there aren't listening devices, or showing people that this person's not out to kill you, or all that, that it gets worse, and they can get violent.
Yeah, that's right. The cog,
like, it's like causing, don't ever fucking do that. Like, it's not a good idea. Yeah. Just get the fuck away from them.
Causing cognitive dissonance in a crazy person is seriously dangerous.
Yeah.
They will kill to make that go away.
Yeah.
If they have to, either themselves or somebody else.
Yeah. Though if you're the one showing them that they're crazy, it's probably going to be you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they will do whatever they can to make sure that you're the crazy one.
Yep. And sometimes, you know, sometimes, I mean, people just do crazy shit. I mean, that's just the nature of it. And you can't, there's no reason. Guns didn't do it. You know,
I think the crazy versus crazy kind of issue is like, people always assume crazy is like you snap.
No.
And all of a sudden you're, you know, but apparently this guy was crazy and he had the ability to plan and methodically like decide to murder as many people as he could. And I think it'll come out that he's just crazy. I mean, what, his father was a psychopath, right?
Yes.
His father was. That, if we don't have time to go into it right now, but his father was a bank robber and one of the FBI's most wanted and, you know, was diagnosed as a psychopath and was on the run for a decade, I think. I might be wrong.
Yeah, it was about that.
But, yeah, so you have that sort of family history, which, you know.
Well, if you think about it, serial killers are batshit insane. And they are they are also methodical and planning and all that kind of stuff. So this guy could have very well just been a serial killer that just compressed it all.
Wanted to do it all at once?
One thing.
Well, I mean the big thing you don't see is you don't see that many serial killers anymore. Ever so often there's that guy in Pennsylvania that just recently popped up. But you don't see it was that.
I think because detection now they're catching people earlier,
or they're just getting it done in one fell swoop,
or I think they're catching
people earlier in their line of, you know, murders or whatever. Because of forensics and all that stuff, I think they're catching people probably a little bit earlier than they had in the past. That's just my theory.
One would hope.
Yeah.
Of course, there's always these like unexplained disappearances and stuff like that. I would not be surprised at all if there have been serial killers that managed to do it without getting caught their entire lives and then go to their grave.
Of course.
Nobody ever knew. That would not surprise me at all. Because the kind of person that does that is scary.
Oh, especially those like angel of death ones that are like,
going
around often old people in nursing homes,
right?
Yeah. With like you know, medication changes and things like that. Like,
of course,
that's so easy to get away with.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, as of June 2016, the FBI says there are up to 50 serial killers active in the United States.
Huh. 50. Wow. That they
it's just the instance of the, you know, the media just talks about what they talk about is we were hearing about serial killers in the 70s and 80s so intensely because it was
kind of trendy.
Yeah. It was super trendy. I mean, Silence of the Lambs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, now it's all Trump. There's no room for serial killers.
I had a dream about Donald Trump last night.
Yeah. Do you have small hands?
Tell me more, Brita.
Did you get Cheetos dust on you?
No. It was between 5 and 6 a.m. Don't ask me how I know. But it was part of the whole four hours of sleep I had. But I dreamt about Donald Trump in one of those 4 hours. And he was perfectly charming, and we were just hanging out. And there was, like, Secret Service there, but, like, we were kind of, like, in this... I think it was kind of like a hotel, but it was, like, an event. Like, so there was lots of rooms, and my mom was there, and we were all just kind of hanging out, and Donald Trump was there in his presidential capacity. However, it was very relaxed, and we were all just hanging out, and, you know, it was fine, and he was charming. And then I decided I should probably wake up when Donald Trump took off his shoes. I woke up.
I would have liked to see where that went.
I don't know. He was sitting there barefoot, and I'm like, okay, I got to wake up.
I can see Donald Trump taking his shoes off.
I cannot. The man never wears shorts.
I know, but I could just see him taking his shoes off and, you know, scrunching his toes up in the carpet just to, you know.
Really?
Oh yeah.
A guy with hair like that? I don't think so.
Yeah. I bet he does it, but I don't think he would do it in the company of strangers.
No, he wouldn't do it in public. He's doing it like under the desk and stuff.
Squishing his toes in the carpet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why he wanted the thick shag carpet in the Oval Office.
Oh, I mean, that's if I was president, I would totally be the person walking around the Oval Office and all of that at, like, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning in like a stained T-shirt and a ratty pair of boxer shorts.
That's why you'll never be president.
Drinking a cup of tea and just getting shit done.
Oh boy,
Mr. President, you're not dressed. You're in my fucking house.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump slept in a suit. That man has never. That man wears a suit everywhere.
Well, like, always he has. He wears like golf shirts and golf pants.
Yeah.
So maybe
when he golfs.
He wears the golf costume when he golfs. But it is true, when he's not wearing the golf costume, he's in pretty
a suit, funny. And he's been like that like forever. I mean, even back except in the 70s. Except when
he
dresses up,
because then he wears a tux.
Right. But even back in like in the 70s and stuff, he was always in a suit. When he was like young, he was in a suit.
Well, he's from that. He's from that upbringing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, say what you will about Donald Trump, but his daddy was the businessman.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he was. All right. 10 more minutes. We can do this.
Okay.
Surely there was another topic.
Rex Tillerson called Donald Trump a moron.
Who? That's my answer to that.
Yeah. Rex Tillerson. It's this is this newest like story of the like it's hilarious actually. I just did the, you know, Donald Trump moron just in Google because I forgot who the fuck it was that said it in the cabinet. And it's hilarious. It's all like MSNBC, CNN, you know, leading with the story. And again, it's very much like the Russian hacking, you know, story with Hillary losing the election is one of those like, all right, first up, this just reeks of just the, that's probably not true. And then two, even if it was true, who fucking cares? Like, it would be a story if, like, this supposedly happened months ago. It would be a story if Donald Trump went, you don't talk to me like that, you know, and all that. You're disgracing the job. You're showing me disrespect in public. You know, pack your shit. But that's not the case. He's still there.
Plus, who
cares?
Well, but also, who, even if it was true, who hasn't called their boss a moron at one time or another?
You know, my last two bosses, I don't think I have.
Well, they must be exceptional.
Yeah. I mean, I've stated my disagreements about them. I've said unflattering things about them, but I wouldn't say moron because that doesn't fit the bill.
Well, or, you know, the equivalent. Stupid, retarded. Whatever. I'm not going to get bent out of shape for some guy calling his boss a moron, because Lord knows I've done it enough. Even if he's not. I mean, you know, everybody does stupid shit.
But the media is just so desperate for anything that they'll take a story that's likely cooked up, but even if it's true, who cares?
Oh, yeah.
I think social media is, it makes such insignificant minutiae, it makes it important because of the immediacy, you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, this person said this and tweeted that, and all of a sudden it's like groundbreaking and important when it really is nothing.
That's actually an interesting statement, because also the new like internet generation and targeted content generation and all of that, mm-hmm. you get the feeling that when, you know, we're sitting around watching Archer,
mm-hmm.
that, oh my gosh, we're sitting around and watching All in the Family or MASH or Magnum PI, you know, which those shows had huge ratings, 'cause that was all there was. You watched Gilligan's Island or you read a book.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's one of those, like, if you weren't watching Gilligan's Island, it was because you weren't watching TV.
Right.
Because that was the only fucking thing on.
Right. You got three channels.
Three channels. There's something good on one of them. Maybe. And I've got to imagine, too, that, like, when there was only three networks, like, yeah, when Gilligan Island was coming off, like, eventually at some point, they're like, look, let's not put anything up against Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah. They did that all the time.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, it's not like today where there's a lot of cutthroat for, you know, oh, we're going to put this up against this and up. And even then that doesn't make any difference now because nobody watches anything in real time anymore.
No,
but you still, since there are things that you're doing that are similar. I mean, I remember when I was working at the anime convention, there was a webcomic artist that was doing a panel. And somebody stood up and said, "Man, what's it like being famous?" And the guy goes, you're looking at it because I'm only famous at anime conventions." Yeah. Like,
oh,
famous nobody, on the internet.
Yeah. I go to the grocery store. No one knows who the fuck I am, you know? And that's the same thing with, like, when I go to the NRA show, I get stopped by people all the time. You know, someone will hear me talking and go, you know, or especially it's hilarious now that, you know, I'm not doing as much blogging anymore, but I'm doing a lot of podcasting that people are here. Like, people don't necessarily know what I look like, but they hear my voice and immediately go, "Wait, I recognize that voice," and go over, "Oh, there you are, Weird Beard." And so I get stopped by people all the time when I'm at, like, the NRA show, but, you know, it's not like anybody knows who I am, like, in my hometown, as far as this sort of stuff goes.
Yeah. But,
everybody people, knows who Brita is in her hometown.
No, they don't.
That's just because it's a small town and she's lived there all her life.
But
they know her as Brita.
Yeah. Yeah. The Brita, the librarian.
Yeah. They're not listening to the Squirrel Report.
No, they're
not. Thank God.
But I bet nobody listens to the Squirrel Report there.
Well, what I'm saying is that there's a tendency for the fans of the Squirrel Report to think that, oh, I'm listening to, you know, the evening news, the evening newscast.
Surely
or something. Well,
if there are any of y'all out there thinking that, you just stop it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. But it does trigger. I mean, we started this show as a talk radio format. Right. We were there to tickle that market.
Yeah.
And so it's not the same, but it's, you know, deep down in your reptile brain, it feels the same.
I'll tickle your market.
What I'm getting at is when everyone in your Facebook feed is, you know, is babbling about, you know, Rex Tillerson calling Trump a moron and these alleged stories that Trump's all seething mad and throwing ashtrays around the White House or whatever the fuck the bullshit story is that they've got that, you know, that makes their little dicks hard. You know, it feels like the gotcha journalism, but this is not Woodward and fucking Bernstein. But
no, it is not.
It's that you're being so inundated. And while, while these, you know, lackadaisical, you know, semi-literate reporters, you know, are tickling the part of your brain that lights up with Woodward and Bernstein, they hate Woodward and Bernstein.
Not even Woodward and Bernstein are Woodward and Bernstein anymore.
That's true. And Tom Petty was alive for a little while after everyone was talking about how he died.
That's right. He was somebody, I saw somebody mentioned on the Facebook who collapsed Tom Petty's wave function.
Schrodinger's Petty.
Yeah, that's right. Schrodinger's Petty.
He is indeed dead, correct?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Well, is he really?
That's what they tell us.
That's what
tell
us.
And we popped on a couple of his greatest hits.
He may have hopped into his time machine and gone off. He's sitting there drinking with Elvis right now and laughing his ass off.
Either way, he was definitely the weakest player in the Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah, that group doesn't exist for me.
Well, they can't because they're half dead.
Wasn't that the fat guy?
What?
Traveling Wilburys?
No, that's Blues Traveler.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. No, Traveling
that guy with the harmonicas.
Yeah, that was Blues Traveler.
Wilburys was a super group composed of Bob Dylan, still alive. Jeff Lynne.
He is?
Still, yes, he is, yeah. Amazingly. Jeff Lynne, still alive. George Harrison, dead. Roy Orbison, dead. And Tom Petty, dead.
Huh.
So... Yeah. So three out of five are taking the old dirt nap.
And frankly, the only reason Traveling Wilburys got any airplay at all is because of the names of the people in it, not because of any music they made.
Oh, no, 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 no. Their first album was fucking amazing. I love the Traveling Wilburys. I will fight you, Alan. But honestly, but actually the big reason why the Traveling Wilburys got a lot of play was because Roy Orbison died just before the first album dropped.
Yes.
Oh.
And so it was used as the epitaph for Roy Orbison.
Yeah. You know what else? The Beatles, totally overrated.
Agreed. Except for George Harrison, because he was the Traveling Wilburys. But yeah, no, I'm not.
Which is funny, because amongst the Beatle aficionados, George Harrison always gets the shit. He's like the Beatle nobody ever gives a crap about.
Yeah, well, him and Pete Best.
Yeah, well, Pete Best.
But yeah, no, it's one of those, like, are you the Stones or are you, you know, a Stones man or a Beatles man? It's one of those, like,
neither.
They're really both kind of weak sauce.
Yeah, I was never.
I mean, the Beatles, if you've got a better chance, because they put out so goddamn many albums and varied their style so greatly that there's going to be one of the songs in there. They're like, you can't not have a favorite Beatles song.
Well, sure.
You can't at least have like two or three Beatles songs that are like one of those, like, no, I don't really much care for the Beatles. I really think they're overrated. I kind of think they suck. But Lady Madonna. Yeah, I don't know. I bought my head to that one. Or maybe you're one of those people that are like, oh, Yellow Submarine. I love that shit.
No, I didn't. No, that was Ringo too hippie-ish. But the Rolling Stones are the same way. It's like there's like one or two maybe songs that are like okay, and then meh. And I mean, of course.
And what's best?
You know,
best
context is everything. You know, it's like okay, it's like Star Wars. Which I'm sorry, Brita, you're just gonna have to bear with me for a minute.
Okay.
You know, Star Wars in 1977 was fucking amazing.
Wait, I just want to interject. I do not hate Star Wars.
Oh, I know. You've just never seen it.
I've just never seen it.
Right. I'm not saying it. Yeah, I didn't mean to imply you hated it.
Okay, it's not
it.
Like
just,
Monty Python.
Right. No. It's not. But I'm just saying you have to look at it in the context of the times. And I'm fully prepared to understand that people who are huge Beatle fans, boomers who are huge Beatle fans, probably have a good reason for it, because before the Beatles, you know, what was there?
Robert Johnson.
Big band.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, meh.
Big band right? was awesome.
But, yeah, but, I mean, the Beatles were like the new, Beatles were like the Star Wars of the 60s.
Yes.
I mean, it was like,
yes, because it was like,
holy crap. Now in hindsight, you know, compared to all the other great music that has happened since then, I don't think the Beatles hold up all that well. But that's just me. And I think the same thing about Star Wars. I think Star Wars, when it first came out, was the fucking most amazing thing that ever happened. And I think in hindsight, you know, after, you know, 40 years, it's kind of, eh.
So what you're trying to say is the Beatles are great, but the Beatles are great, but they're no Christina Aguilera.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, there's music, you know, you got to remember back when the Beatles came out, rock and roll was like new shit. I mean, still new. I mean, only been around for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Now it's been around for, you know, 60, 70 long. Years.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got the whole, that was the whole point for Gigi Allen's whole like debacle of a career was he grew up with people talking about rock and roll as if it's the bad boys music. But I mean, again, the joke of course is like, you know, oh yeah, no. Like, you know, my parents listened to jazz. You know, you'd get dressed up in a suit and go to a jazz club.
Yeah.
And all that. It was like totally the most square fucking thing on earth you could listen to.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
When my parents were growing up, like,
that was
oh my
the cool
God,
thing.
The jazz men, they smoked reefers and they hung out with colored people and,
yeah.
And all, you know, all this like subversive shit and all. And so Gigi Allen, grew up with the people talking about rock and roll in hushed tones as it's the devil's music. And he's like, this is fucking oldie shit. So he started, you know, cutting himself with glass bottles and pooping on the stage.
Cause why not? What are you going to do to scare the parents? You know what? Cause I got to tell you, it ain't rap.
Not anymore anyway.
Cause number one, it's not music. And number two, you know, come on. Rap's bigger business than rock.
The kids who are listening to rap, their parents also listen to rap.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
when it was new, now you got these, you know, multi-millionaires talking about, you know, gang banging in the hood, like they know what the fuck that is.
Well, I mean, even better, you want to go like fully, like all the fucking way around. Was I found myself on a Wikipedia dive on Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh.
And the whole, like, you know, Hamilton and hit the songs he wrote and all that. And I found myself like, listen, like I have absolutely no fucking interest in Hamilton. I don't get it. I don't get it. And then I actually just listened to like some random fucking song from Hamilton. Don't even know what the fucking the song was and all that. I'm listening to it and I'm just like, it's just fucking rap about Hamilton.
Yeah.
And it's one of those like, and as far as I know, the entire play is all done in rap. Like, it's not like there's numbers and there's spoken lines. It's not one of those musicals. It's more of an opera.
That's my understanding.
That's at least that's my understanding. Again, I don't fucking care. You can write into the
because a rap opera sounds just like something I can't wait to see.
Yeah. No, I started playing like a 5-minute YouTube video of him doing one of the songs from Hamilton, and I couldn't even finish it. I'm just like, yeah, pass. Yeah. Like that shit was really, really cool when I was in college and drunk.
Well, when the Beastie Boys were doing it, you know, I mean,
I never got into the Beastie Boys.
Try again.
MC Hammer.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you, I dug some Hammer up the other day on Spotify and that shit does not hold up. That is hot garbage. I'm like, oh, I remember this song. This song was so awesome. Oh,
no.
Speaking of Tom Petty. Oh, this Tom Petty song's awesome. Ooh. Oh, sorry, Tom.
Yeah.
It really sucks that I, you know, that it's been like, you know, it's been like 8 years since I've listened to some of my quote unquote favorite songs by you, only to realize that, oh,
there's a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I wasn't talking to the dead Tom Petty about the fact that, like, you know, every time I hear you on the Traveling Wilburys album, I'm like, dude, fucking just step back and yeah, let like Harrison Orbit sing
or Dylan take over. Yeah. Oh, look,
I definitely never gotten into any trouble on that. I don't even know if he's a good singer or guitar player or not, because he was there playing guitar and singing harmony, but he was mostly doing the production because that was his bag.
Speaking of production.
Yes.
1 hour, 8 minutes.
Bonus minutes.
Yep.
I love that sound when Brita goes the gasp. Is the no more teachers, no more books.
All right. Well, this episode was not as painful as I expected.
I miss Jay.
Yeah, I know. I wish he
hadn't. He could have done this show.
He could have done this show because we didn't bag on the NRA at all.
Well, the reason why I finally went and read my email. I can't read my email during the day at work, so I feel like I miss all the topic emails. But he said that he had been getting emails from like complete strangers about the NRA today. Right.
Yeah,
and so he was concerned leave Jay alone.
Yeah, it's leave Jay him alone. Jay is not responsible for the political statements of the NRA.
No.
I promise.
Leave him alone.
I don't even know.
He's so far down the. He's so far out of the loop on that. It's not even funny.
And again, I don't even know about the political statements that the NRA are making. Like, when you read it at the hand, it does seem like it's a bad move.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you know what's been going on recently and all that, it is either a stupid checkers move or a smart chess move, and only time will tell. I mean, it also could turn out to be a stupid chess move.
Yeah, honestly, but given the track record of the NRA, it's a stupid move.
I think it's just talk and nothing will happen.
Oh,
and I think they know that. And I think that's why they put out the statement.
So the bottom line is nothing will happen. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel did his fucking monologue talking about like, oh, nothing's going to happen because the NRA's bought off all the politicians. It's one of those like, before this shit was happening, you know, we have a bunch of really good pro gun bills floating around, and the Republicans who are in control of everything right now are just fucking sticking their thumbs up their asses, doing anything they can then take responsibility for any sort of popular action that might, please their constituents. And on the other hand, the Democrats had a supermajority when Obama got elected, and it was the brand new shiny Obama rather than the, who the fuck is this guy, Obama? Mm-hmm. The leftists hated him because he was too conservative, and the conservatives hated him.
My cat is throwing up.
Which one?
Una.
Una. Okay.
Is she throwing up or is it a hairball?
She's protesting the fact that she's hungry. Una, relax.
Feed that poor cat.
She's hungry, and so she throws up.
Right. Well, we're done. So anyway,
okay.
Don't bug Jay. It's not his fault.
Yeah, leave him alone.
But either way, I'm just saying that nothing has been happening. It's not that anyone's get bought off. It's that nobody wants to put their neck on the line. Let's just sit around and tread water and talk.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bunch of stoners sitting on their ass talking about, hey, man, we could buy a t-shirt shop. We can make millions and all that. And at the end of the conversation, they're all just still sitting there on the couch stoned.
Pretty much. All right. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And that'll be us next week.
What? Stoned? Sitting on the couch stoned?
Sitting around on the couch stoned, doing the show.
All right. Okay. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Good night, Internet.
Bye.
Bye.